Hello, friends. It's Memorial Day weekend, and we here at New Life Church, we remember. We remember the women and the men who have served our country, who have gone to war, who have fought, and who have died on the battlefield. We remember the families who have sacrificed so much to send their loved ones overseas. This is Colorado Springs, and we live in a city with more military installations than any other city in the United States of America. So this hits home for us. This is real. And so this weekend, if you're remembering, we pray grace over you. We pray blessing over you for all of the military families who've lost loved ones. We are standing with you. We thank you for your love and for your sacrifice and for your service. And we pray that the comfort of the Holy Spirit would surround you this weekend as we all remember. And now let's worship the Lord together.
Well, greetings, friends and people of God. Let's rise up together. For our call to worship today, I'm going to read from Psalm 147. This is the word of the Lord. It says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is the Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond all measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. So sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the instruments." This psalm beckons us to praise. It beckons us to worship today. This is our God. It highlights the wide-ranging care that God has for His people, for His creation. He shows up, He comes up, He delights in entering into our situation and lifting us up like a river. He gravitates even to the lowest places because He hears our deepest cries. So let's rise up today, people of God. Let's rise up today and worship Him, for His love is abundant. He is our great, great, great God. Come on! Let faith arise. We sing together our praise. I praise you, wait you with the dawn. Our souls await to you and lift a song. We've seen the things that you have done, and still we know the best is yet to come. We believe it, there's more to come. There's more to come. All right, open the gates, come on.
Open the gates and let your glory come down. Open our hearts, open our hearts and let our worship pour out.
Come on, open the gates.
Open the gates and let your glory come down. Open our hearts and let our worship pour out.
Oh, your presence is all we need.
Your presence is all we need. You break our chains
with sounds of victory. Oh, I can hear it now. We can hear it now.
You're changing everything.
Open the gates.
Open the gates and let your glory.
Come, flood this space. There's nothing else we want more than you. Nothing else we need more than you, oh God. So come and have your way. Hear our songs today.
Come, flood this space. No one else could take your place. Come, have your way. No one else could take your place.
No one else
could take your place. Come have your way.
Yes, Lord, we open up the gates, we open up the doors. We want to see the King of Glory come in today. All of who you are, and all of your splendor, and all of your majesty. We want to behold you for who you are. We want to stand in awe of you today. So come in. We open up the door. We open up the gates. Come in. Listen to this together. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Sing his name, Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Praise we could ever bring. He is worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We magnify Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
I will build.
say, as we trust in you, as we trust in you, let's sing holy, lift our eyes and say, holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you, open up my eyes in wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Nothing but you, Lord. My God and my all, nothing but you. To see you, to know you, there's no greater thing. So God, would you open our eyes to see your glory now? Oh Lord, would you come in like a flood? Would your presence explode in our homes, in our lives, all over the city? We sing stars bow low, stars bow low. Oh, the heavens make their boast. You are seated on the throne, so glorious. The earth and sea, the earth and sea, resting underneath your feet, sovereign over everything, so glorious. We pray this with faith. Unveil our eyes.
Unveil my eyes to see you, to behold.
Your love,
no, you are shining.
As we come to give to the Lord today, I want to tell you a story. This morning, Pastor Rion, our global ministries pastor, spoke on the phone with Pastor William, who lives in Lahore, Pakistan. And Pastor William has been over here several times. He's a friend. He's stayed with us. He's a man of God. He's got a wife and four daughters over there, and they're living on $300 a month, just grinding it out, serving Jesus, serving the poor, taking care of people. And so Pastor Rion spoke with Pastor William this morning, and he said, what's the update? And he said, as you'll know over here, people live day to day. They work and they make money that day, and hopefully they can eat that day. Well, with the COVID outbreak, businesses have shut down, and these are people who've gone 5, 6, and sometimes 7 days without eating anything. And they're getting desperate, and they're selling their cell phones, which helps them or hurts them from being able to work. They're selling their motorcycles or their vehicles just to try to get daily bread. And so he said that in this nation, they're a Christian minority. Maybe 2-3% are Christians in that land. And people who are getting stockpiles of food are demanding conversions for food. They're saying, look, if you want food, you got to convert. But where Christians are getting food, Pastor William tells the story that Christians are giving it away with no conditions. They're giving it away for free. They're giving it away because this is who Jesus Christ is. And people are converting to Christianity because they're seeing a different kind of love. They're seeing a different kind of generosity. They're being provoked into the faith because of people who trust Jesus for their daily bread. And so what I want to tell you is that we just told Pastor William this morning that we're sending another payment, another distribution of money is coming because of your faithful tithes and offerings. We're able to help them out in this moment. We're going to help Pastor William and his family and their team over there so that the church can go on and keep serving the poor in their region of Lahore, Pakistan. But here's the threat in a time like this. The threat in a time like this is that we turn inward. That we end up taking care of ourselves, that we end up looking out for number one while people on the fringes are hurting. And I'm just here to tell you that we are going to be a church that gives out. We are going to be a church that serves. We're going to be a church that races to the edges of society, races to the four winds of the nations. And we're going to give, and we're going to serve, and we're going to love. And we're going to trust that as we do that, Jesus will take care of them, and Jesus will take care of us. So today, we give by faith. And we give with Pastor William and people like him in mind that we're going to pray right now to ask God to take care of them. So let's pray as we give. Lord, we lift up Pastor William and his wife Sarah and their four daughters today. We lift up their church there in Lahore. We lift up the region, really the slum that they live in, and we pray that the name of Jesus would break out in that place. We pray that people would be redeemed and saved. We pray that people would be called out of darkness and into marvelous light. We pray that you would set those who are on the fringes of society, those who are lonely, set them into family, bring them near. We pray, Jesus, that your name would be exalted in that land and people would come to the faith, that the church would rise in that nation in this moment. And so, Lord, we give today. And we ask that you would take these gifts and that you would bless them and that you'd break them and that you'd pass them out to feed the multitudes in that land and in the nations of the earth. We give today in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. There's three ways you can give. You can give online at newlifechurch.org. You can text it into the information below, or you can send in a check through snail mail, 11025 Voyager Parkway, 80921, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Let's continue to worship as we give.
Praise God. Psalm 147, like we started in the service, I just want to quote verse 5. Great is the Lord, abundant in power. That's the God we serve. That's the God we worship. He's holy above all things. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen and amen. Friends, prepare your hearts for the word of the Lord today. We're going to open the scriptures today. So lean in, press in. You know the drill. Grab your Bibles and grab your notebooks. Grace and peace.
Hey, good morning, New Life Church. We are so grateful that you've decided to join us here again online. I want to say thank you for being so faithful every week to gather with your family and friends. I know some, most of you are at home, some of you are at work. Thank you for watching on YouTube. Thank you for hosting those Facebook Live watch parties. Thank you for tuning in at newlifechurch.org. Maybe some of you have stumbled upon us on KRDO Channel 13. However you found us, we're glad that you joined us this morning. Welcome to the online broadcast. And I want to give you an update that soon we'll be able to gather again in public. We're going to open our building soon. We're having some final meetings right now with local health officials, with our county commissioners, with our mayor, and they have been very supportive. I want to tell you that we have not had any resistance at all from local officials. They have been super helpful, very thoughtful, and I'm grateful to live in a city that respects the church and wants the church to thrive. And I want to say thank you to all of our El Paso County health officials for working so hard. You have done such a great job. I want to say thank you to our nurses and our doctors and our hospitals who have done a fantastic job here in our city. And so we want you to know we're praying for you. You have our best. We thank you. Thank you for your hard work and service during this time. And I was just thinking about Pastor Daniel sharing that story from Pakistan. You know, most of us here in America, we're worried about gaining 15 pounds during the quarantine. I think the people around the world are actually have a different, you know, they're trying to not to lose 15 pounds. And I just want to tell you, we're going to continue serving the people here in our city. We're going to continue giving away groceries. I think we've given away about 5 or 6 tons of food so far, and we're going to keep doing that until there's no longer a need. But we're also going to turn our face toward the world because, listen, the Corona 19 virus is going to affect the poor differently than it's going to affect wealthy countries like the United States. And so we're going to keep our eyes open for continued opportunities to serve. And that actually really helps me with the message this morning. I want you to turn to James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 22 and verse 27. And I want to talk to you this morning about taking care, looking after widows and orphans. How does the church respond? How does the church come alongside those who are most vulnerable in the world? And verse 22 of James chapter 1 and verse 27, when I was 21 years old, when I gave my life to Christ, these two verses that I'm about to read shaped me and formed me. In fact, if I had to name a life verse for myself, it's James chapter 1, verse 27. That scripture comes out of me when I talk. It comes out of me when I pray. It comes out of me when I wake up in the middle of the night. This scripture that I'm about to read to you has literally changed my life. In James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." In other words, don't just sit around listening to the Bible and then do nothing about it. James says, listen to the word, study the word, let the word go down deep in your heart. And then I love what he says here, and then go do what it says. Go do the stuff. Don't just listen and be a learner, but be a disciple. And discipling means getting on our feet, standing up and going out to meet the need. And then verse 27, this is the passage of scripture that I love so much. He says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this." In other words, if you want to do something that's really pleasing to God, if you want to capture the attention of what God's doing, if you want to discover what God's up to on the planet, here's what he's doing. He's to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, when James wrote this, he had just been appointed as the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And the church in Jerusalem was under an immense amount of pressure. I mean, they were being persecuted by the Romans. They were being persecuted by the traditional Jewish faith at the time. Everyone that could pick on them was picking on them, and they were putting some of them to death. They certainly were living day to day, hour to hour. Many of the people who had been marginalized by the culture had found themselves hungry and starving. Children were being abandoned in the streets, and the church stepped up to the plate. The church responded in a powerful way. In fact, the first challenge of the church in Jerusalem was taking care of widows. Look at Acts chapter 6. Verse 1, it says, in those days, this is the early days when the church in Jerusalem were just being formed, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing. In other words, the church was growing. The church was prospering. The church was flourishing. It says the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. In fact, the people who most needed help were being neglected. And James immediately responds to this and says, let me remind you that from the beginning of time, God has come to the defense of those who find themselves marginalized by the conditions of the world. In fact, let me just show you a couple of passages of scripture. Psalm 68, verse 5. This is how David is describing God, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. Think about that. It says God sets the lonely in families. But I love the intense language of that psalm. A defender of widows, a father to the fatherless, setting the lonely into families. Look at Proverbs 23. I love this passage. Proverbs 23, verse 10 and 11 says, do not move an ancient boundary stone are encroach on the fields of the fatherless. Listen to this. For their defender, he's talking about God here. For their defender is strong, and he will take up their case against you. I don't know about you, but I don't want God taking up someone's case against me. I want to be on the side that God's on. In fact, here's the truth I want you to catch in this message this morning. God himself, the creator of the cosmos, the creator of heaven and earth, God defends widows and orphans. That's the truth. If you're watching this broadcast today and you feel like you've been pushed to the margins, if you feel like the culture has run off and left you, if you feel that the deck has been stacked against you in the economy, if you have lost everything during this season, let me just give you some hope this morning and some very good news. God himself has seen you. He has heard your cry. He has seen the condition that you find yourself in, and it is not lost upon God. He has never once taken his eyes off of you. If God feeds the birds of the air, he is taking care of the human race. I want you to know you're important to God. He knows who you are. He is watching you. He is listening to you. He is responding to your cry. Don't stop praying. Don't stop reaching out. And for the rest of us, here's the local church. A lot of us have not been as affected economically by this COVID-19 as others have. But we all have a responsibility to respond to the needs of our city. And maybe you don't know someone who's lost their home or their job, but I promise you they're out there. And over the next few weeks and months, you're going to stumble upon people who are having a really hard time. And I want to give you some things to think about this morning as we respond to the growing needs in our city, as we respond to the growing needs in your own neighborhood, as you respond to the needs around the world. Here's how you are to condition yourself and respond to the very poor and broken. Here's the first thing the Bible tells us to do is to listen to them. Really have ears to hear. Listen to the people who are broken right now. Listen to the people who've lost everything right now. Listen to Proverbs 21. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. That's a sobering passage of scripture. When we stop listening to the broken, when we stop listening to the people who have lost everything, the Bible says God himself stops listening to us. I want God to hear my prayers. I want God to pay attention to my cries, but He first asks us to pay attention to the broken areas in our city. Just a few days ago, my wife and I were in a local business, a small business, and this is a local business that has been around for 15 years. And this man, he found out that I was a pastor. He doesn't attend our church, but he found out I was the pastor at New Life Church, and he says, "Pastor, I've lost 85% of my business." And this is a man that's a little bit older than I am, so he's at the end of his career, nearing the end of his career. And he said to me, "Pastor Brady, I have worked for 15 years to build this company, and in the last 2 months, I've lost 85% of my business." And this is a big, strong guy. This is this tough guy. He literally just sat down in a chair in front of Pam and I and wept and sobbed and cried. We went over and put our hand, and we gave up all the social distancing at that point because this guy needed someone to pray for him. So Pam and I went over and laid hands on him and prayed over him and heard his story. And listen, it did something inside of me. I realized that there are people that are right here in the wealthy part of Colorado Springs that are struggling and they're wrestling. And it's our responsibility just to sometimes sit and listen to them, let them talk. And Pam and I didn't give him some tricky, a shortcut to get out of it. We didn't have a foolproof plan to tell him anything. All we did was sat and listened to him and heard his story and heard his cry and put our hands on him and prayed over him. Sometimes that's all we can do. But the first step in responding to the needs of our city is to make sure that we listen to them. And then secondly, we need to respond. When we have the ability to help someone, we must help them. Listen one more time, I want you to hear that. If you have the resources to give, if you have the time to serve, if you have the ability to help, it is our responsibility to respond to the needs that are right in front of us. Proverbs 19, verse 17, when we were launching the Dream Centers in Colorado Springs, I would never forget this. In 2010, we began to hear the cries of our city more and more. We were listening to the cries of our city. If you remember in 2010, we were just coming out of a really bad economic crisis here in our city, and the economy was a wreck. People had lost their jobs and their homes, and we discovered that there were 800 families, working families in our city, who were living in their cars with their children. 800, think about this. In El Paso County, the southern part of Colorado, the Front Range of the Rockies, and one of the most beautiful cities in the world, 800 families were going to bed at night in city parks inside their cars. That's what we heard in 2010. And at the same time, our church here at New Life, we were in debt. We had a lot of debt. We were coming out of our own financial crunch. And one morning, the Lord gave me this scripture, Proverbs 19, verse 17, I'll never forget, going to our elders and saying to them, "Men, I want to tell you that if we will begin to respond to the needs of the people in our city, God Himself is going to do something for us at the church." And I use this scripture, listen to this. It says, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord." You give to God when you give to the poor, and it says God will reward him for what he has done. I remember that scripture being seared into my consciousness, being seared into my soul. And so out of our own needs, actually, we began to build a women's clinic. We opened a women's clinic in July of 2011. And then a few years later, we purchased an apartment complex that we call Mary's Home. And today it is absolutely full with families, moms with their children, living in a safe place. And by the way, I want to give you a report. All the moms at Mary's Home have been spared. We've not had one single mom or one single kid come down with COVID-19. They're in a safe, protected place at Mary's Home right now because we heard their voice and we made a decision as a church because of your generous giving, we made a decision as a church to listen to them and to respond to them. And then here's the third thing the Bible tells us to do is to give them a voice. Give them the ability to speak out. Oftentimes when people find themselves poor and broken and pushed to the margins, they no longer have the power to speak up on their own behalf. Oftentimes, our political system, our economic system, mutes the voice of the poor. No longer do people hear their cries. They're not listening to them. They're not responding to them. And oftentimes, the very poor in our city feel like there's no one that's listening, and they have no voice to speak up for themselves. But Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9 says, "Speak up for those who can't speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute." Speak up, church. Speak up, people of God, and judge fairly. And I love this. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Defend them. Speak up for them. Use your social media influence. Use your voice. Use your political power to make sure that the people that are on the very margins of our city have a voice in our county and in our state and our nation and around the world. This is why Pastor Daniel just shared that story. Nobody knows what's going on in Pakistan, but we have a voice. We know how to speak up for them. We know how to give them access to you. We just gave some poor people in Pakistan access to about 50 to 60,000 people watching this broadcast. This is what I'm talking about. Speak up for them. Tell their story. Help them be brought into a place of dignity and respect so that they can get the help that they need. And then in James chapter 1, after he talks about taking care of the widows and the orphans, making sure that you defend them, James ends this particular passage with verse 27. He says, "And don't forget, keep yourself, keep oneself, make sure while you're defending the widows and taking care of the poor and the orphans, make sure along the way that you're not being polluted by the world." Right now, we're living in a world that's full of pollution. We're living in a world that's full of corruption. It is easy to allow our heart to be saturated by things that are evil. It is easy to find yourself being swept along by the currents of the world right now. And I love that James is giving us a reminder. Not only should we be busy doing good things, not only should we be busy taking care of people in our city, but we should always make sure that the condition of our internal being, that the condition of our heart is pure. Well, how do we do that? I mean, oftentimes James, the book of James especially, is criticized by like Martin Luther didn't like the book of James because he thought that James was putting all of the weight for the human condition on us, that it was all our responsibility, that it was our hard work that made it possible. And that's not what James was saying. James was saying that we have a helper. James was reminded that he himself had a helper. That we were not in this on our own, that it was not just our responsibility to white-knuckle our way through life or to use our own strength to find holiness. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." He's talking about keeping yourself pure. And look at verse 10. "So that you may be able to discern..." This is what James is talking about. James was saying along the way, as you're helping the poor, as you're helping the widow, make sure that you're able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. I want you to look at this word discern. This word discern is so powerful. In verse 10, it says, "If you're able to discern, you'll be able to know what is best, pure, and blameless." Church, can you imagine how powerful it would be right now if the body of Christ had the ability to discern and to pay attention to what is best, what is pure, and what is blameless. There's so much information coming to us right now. We are overwhelmed. I mean, I can't, just for a moment, can I just say that I am really aggravated about all the conspiracy theories that are flying around and how all of this is some evil thing. Listen, can we just stop for a moment before you repost something on Facebook? Before you believe every conspiracy theory that comes across your screen, can you just stop for a moment and ask the Lord, "Lord, I'm hearing all this information. I'm hearing all these accusations. Father, would you just give me the ability to discern? Would you give me the ability to find out what is best, what is pure, what is blameless?" Can we just be a quiet and holy people living in the midst of a very dark world? Can we not lose our witness right now? Can we, in fact, our light should be shining brightly right now. Our light, our witness should be radiating around the world right now. And the only way that we can keep our witness is to discern, to test and approve, to allow. That's what it means in the Greek. The word means to test and to approve, to not allow anything into our life that's not best and pure and blameless. In fact, we should test and approve everything. Everything that comes into us and everything that comes out of us should be tested and approved. We should know right from wrong right now. So I want to say this to you. One of the local health officials, she was saying that she was very hurt last week because she's trying to help churches. She's trying to help churches. And some of the church people that she's been interacting with have been a little difficult, a little rude. And I want to say to you right now, we have an amazing opportunity to be a witness to the world. But we also have a possibility of losing our witness. How we talk, how we respond, what we say to people really matters right now. People all over the world are looking for hope. They're looking for truth. They're looking for dignity. They're looking for help. And it is the church that should be the carriers of grace right now. Church, listen, smile. Let your words be joyful. Let your words be helpful. Let your words be an encouragement right now. Guard your lips right now. Guard your heart right now. And how do you do that? We have a helper, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our filter. Right now, more than ever, more than at any other time that I can remember in my life, I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to saturate me. I need the Holy Spirit to fill me. I need the person and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to be present with me, to be moving inside of me. New Life Church and the people watching all over the world right now, would you welcome the Holy Spirit? Maybe you are new to the faith. Maybe you're new to this whole movement of Jesus. Let me tell you something. The people of God, the church, was birthed by the Holy Spirit. The church has been sustained for 2,000 years because of the Holy Spirit. And right now, church, we need the Holy Spirit's help. We need the power, the person, the presence of the Holy Spirit unlike any other time in our lives. And I'm just going to pray for you in just a moment that you would open up your heart, that you would calm yourself down. If you're angry or agitated or aggravated by the news of this week, would you just stop for a moment? And in this space and in this time, right now, would you welcome the Holy Spirit into your life? Would you welcome the power of the Holy Spirit? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to come and maybe challenge some of the things that you've been thinking and feeling? Would you let the Holy Spirit be a filter to your soul right now? Would you do that? Can we just take a deep breath? In fact, would you just breathe in with me today? Would you just quiet your soul for a moment? In just a moment, I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to sing a powerful worship song that God is sovereign over all of us. We're going to sing and declare God's sovereign grace, God's sovereign power, God's sovereign ability over our lives. And in just a moment, Pastor Daniel is going to come back and we're going to confess to the Lord that we need him. And we're going to welcome the grace of the Lord as we come to the table. But just before we do that, can we just confess this morning that we need the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come, Holy Spirit, to your people today. For those who are watching, would you just say these words with me? Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We know that the Holy Spirit's never left us. We know that the Holy Spirit's never abandoned us. We know that to be true. But we are the ones who have often drifted away from his help. We are the ones who have often drifted away from our need from the Holy Spirit. But this morning, we confess that we need the Holy Spirit. We confess this morning that Christ alone is the hope of our salvation, that Christ alone is the hope of this world, that it was the resurrected Christ that came and gave us hope for salvation, forgave us of our sins. But then he sent us the Holy Spirit as a helper, a guide. And so, Lord, today we thank you for the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the soon return of Jesus. But also this morning we thank you that the power of the Holy Spirit is present for those of us who ask. And Lord, you said if any of us need wisdom, that we should call upon you and ask you today for wisdom. So we ask today for wisdom. We ask today for your Spirit. And we thank you that it is a gift from God that you want to give to your people. So we welcome it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you are encouraged today. I hope you're strengthened today. I want you to tune in on Wednesday night, this Wednesday night prayer. I'm going to make an announcement this Wednesday night about the reopening of our building. So tune back in Wednesday night, 6:30 Mountain Time, and we'll talk more about it, what it means to open our building. But I want you to stand with me right now. We're going to worship together. We're going to sing together, and we're going to come to the table of the Lord.
Strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. And you meet us in the morning with a love that casts out fear. You are working in the waiting. You are working in our waiting. Sanctifying us. We're beyond our understanding. You're teaching us to trust. You planned us still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the blood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. You're sovereign over us. Oh, faithful Father. Oh,
if you have your communion elements ready in your homes, your apartments, wherever you are,
I invite you to grab those. We heard today that our job, our responsibility, our call is to defend the cause of the poor and the needy. Defend the cause of the poor and the needy. This is pure and spotless and faultless religion, to take care of widows and orphans in their distress and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. It sounds like a big task, and the question is, how can we do that? The answer is, there was one who came to defend the cause of the poor and the needy. Jesus came to defend our cause. We're poor in spirit. Many of us are poor in pocketbook. We're poor in all kinds of ways, and Jesus came to restore us and to heal us. And on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, here's the down payment. Here's the guarantee. Here's the proof that I have come for your good. He took the bread and he broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. And so as we receive this bread this morning, let's receive it from the one who came to defend our cause, from the one who came to feed us and to heal us and to strengthen us. You may receive the bread. And on that same night, Jesus took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant given in my blood. And it's given for the remission of all your sins. I'm wiping it all away. I'm drowning the past in my grace and in my mercy. And Jesus says, as often as you drink this cup, drink this, remember, do this in the remembrance of me. And so for all of you who have failed like I have, for all of you who are aware of your insufficiencies, this morning as we drink, what we're drinking is the nourishment, the refreshment, the blessing, the forgiveness from Jesus himself who came to defend us. So you may receive the cup. And now, would you open your hands as we close the service today? I want to pray the benediction, the blessing over you. I pray this morning, may the Lord God bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his bright, smiling countenance upon you and all your people. And may he grant you peace. And I pray for favor in your business as you work. I pray that God would provide for you, that God would protect you. I pray for health and strength in your body. I pray for soundness in your mind. I pray for peace where you reside, right there in your home or your apartment. I pray that your place would be filled up with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord and that joy would break out. I pray that the joy of the Lord would be your strength. And so we pray the blessing of God over you today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. As Pastor Brady said, join us on Wednesday night at 6:30 Mountain Time. We'll have some great news on reopening our church. Go in God's grace and peace. Much love.
Thank you for being a part of the broadcast. Thank you for joining us. We hope this was a place of strength and encouragement and comfort for you. We hope you come back and join us on Wednesday night at 6:30 Mountain Time as we will gather for an hour of worship and prayer. Also, if you want to join us online next week, we'll be right back in the same place, same station, same broadcast. So be a part of it next weekend as well. God bless all of you. Have a great week.